Amen.
Amen.
To God be the glory, sister, all the way from Mansfield to just come here and bless us. I want to say thank you, sir, your husband, Mr. Martin. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. We're excited to be here in the house of God. To hear what the Lord has to say to us today. I don't have a feel-good kind of message. I have a message that sounds like a warning. I want you to know that it's a warning. And my goal here is to make you uncomfortable so that you can choose Jesus. Amen. All right, because all this will come to pass, right? And that's what we learn. And I'm going to start here by, let's pray. Let's pray here. Oh, Father, thank you for being so kind to us. You want us to worship, and so we're here to elevate you, to glorify your name, and giving everything we can just to this wonderful name. Thank you for dying for us on Calvary. And now we're about to lift Jesus so that your soon return will draw it nigh. Bless us as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, here the Bible says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That is Luke chapter 21, verse 31. What are these things that Luke is talking about? What are these things that Luke is talking about? He says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Beloved, there's something that you need to know. Some of you have heard about these things, but probably you didn't pay attention. And we don't want to be responsible for you getting lost. We want you to make a choice. It says here on Revelation chapter 16, verse 1, our tech team up there, if you put the scripture, that will help us. Revelation chapter 16. Can you help us with that? Revelation chapter 16, help us with that. Thank you. And so you see, let's read some scriptures together here so we can learn. We are going to learn something about the plagues. There are plagues in the book of Revelation chapter 16. You see, the book of Revelation has so many events that are going to take place. But today, I just want to zero on the plagues, the seven plagues that you will find in the book of chapter 16. It says here, here you see that why God pours out. God here pours out the plagues. And are they arbitrary judgments? What about the love of God in the plagues? What is God doing by throwing things that will hurt us down here? What about the love of God in the plagues? So we are going to start with Revelation 16, and we'll go over each of the plagues specifically and ask ourselves the question, where is the love of God? And so here we go to Revelation 16, verse 1, and it says here, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. The first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast and upon which worshipped his image. You can read for yourself. The Bible is just right there. If you can read, please read. And that will help you. Notice, I want you to notice now, who does the noisome and grievous sore? Who does this ugly soul fall upon? Those that have the mark of the beast. Did you hear that? Now, people go around and say, the Seventh-day Adventist people, they go around telling people and scare everybody else, there's a Sunday law, God is going to come and he's going to... It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. What says the Bible? And that's all we say here. And so it says here, those that have the mark of the beast who have these souls, which means today you have a choice. I don't want you to say you didn't hear this message. Well, obviously, then there must be people living on earth that don't have the mark of the beast. And who are those people? Namely, God's people. Okay? And so it falls on those that have the mark of the beast. Those are the people that are going to get those souls. The people who receive the mark of the beast. Now, it is a physical affliction. What did the beast power say when the mark of the beast was enforced? I want you to know, those that enforce the mark of the beast said, you take the mark of the beast, and if you don't take the mark of the beast, you'll be physically injured. You'll be physically hurt. You'll be whipped. You'll be persecuted. If you don't take the mark of the beast, your body suffers enormous pain. So here, the first plague shows us that there's only physical security in Christ Jesus. And so we go to verse 2 now. And so those who took the mark of the beast received some noisome and grievous soul. Now, what is this saying? Is it saying give your life to Christ? It's saying give your life to Christ. Or because all physical security is in who? Is in Jesus Christ. Christ is our refuge and strength. So we go to the second plague. The second plague is Revelation 16 verse 2. And here is the second plague, it says, and the second angel poured out in vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. I'm not saying this. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I'm preaching this message to be cute, okay? I want you to know where you stand, right? Can you imagine what will happen if every living thing in the sea died? Can you imagine? Think of the population. Think of the stink and the stench. Think of the interruption of the supply chains. Because this happened in the seas. Think of the fact that you could not send commerce over the sea. This would create economic disaster. Okay? So the economic commerce would stop almost immediately. Almost immediately. You remember what those who enforced the mark of the beast said? They said, you can't buy or sell. You won't be able to eat. Okay? But here, in the second plague, the very thing they promised, they couldn't deliver. And in the second plague, what does it say? All economic security is in Christ Jesus. That's what you need to read. Are you reading what you see there? And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and what? And became blood of a dead man. Now, some of you think you are so smart, you can escape this time. I'm here to tell you, only when you have Jesus on your side, on your side. You don't have to get these souls. You can choose today. You can choose today. And so, in fact, the Bible says that our bread and water will be sure during this time. Did you hear that? David says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Jesus promised during this period of time that he'll care for us. He'll care for us. So the first plague says all physical security is in Christ. The second plague says all economic security is in what? is in Christ. Now look at what it says, Revelation chapter 16, third plague. The third angel poured out in the vial upon the rivers and the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was shall be, because thou hast judged us. And verse 6, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets. You have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Did you hear that? And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Now, I want you to look at something here. Now, look, why does God give them blood to drink? Why does God give them blood to drink? It tells you here, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. In other words, they have passed a death decree and they have wanted to destroy and kill God's people. And so here it says that they have gotten blood to drink. And what does this say? It says that our life is hid in Christ Jesus. Life is a gift, friends. Did you know that? Life is a gift that God gives. And our life is actually hid in Christ Jesus. So see, the first plague says physical security is in Christ. And the second plague says all economic security is in who? Is in Christ. Then the third plague says that your very life is in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Now, what indeed is the fourth plague? The fourth plague. In the fourth plague, the sun scorches man. Did you hear that? Are you familiar with that? Something happened yesterday with the sun. Do you realize that yesterday, or actually this month, was recorded to be the most hot ever in creation? You can read it. Google. You see that in Washington Post. And so if you are complaining about this heat, just wait a little bit longer. And so here, the fourth plague, the sun scorches man, all true worship. What does that mean? It means all true worship is in who? Is in Christ. That's what you get from the fourth plague. I'm just summarizing here. I'm going somewhere. Now, the mark of the beast has to do with the change of the law of God from the seventh day Sabbath to the first day Sunday. Now, this is where I lose you, because you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. Why can't we just worship another day? Why is the Sabbath so critical? Because the one who created made it special. And you cannot change it. Okay? So the Sabbath is the seal of the living God. That's his seal. And the sun that has been the object of worship. Did you know there are people who worship the sun? I'm talking about this sun, the scorching sun, not the Son of God. The people who actually worship the sun in those hidden deities. They worship the sun. Who are they? So through the centuries, Egyptians worship the sun. They call the sun God. Babylonians worship the sun God. The Persians worship the sun God. The Romans called him sun worship. Okay? But yet in the days of Constantine, sun worship crept into the Christian church. So there will be the enforcement of the mark of the beast in the future. And here in this fourth plague, it says that all true worship is in who? Is in Christ Jesus. Okay, I'm trying to break it down as quick as I can. The next and fifth plague talks about darkness on the seat of the beast. Now they have looked to the beast's power for light, for a light, but there is only what? Darkness. So they have looked to the beast's power for truth, but there's only what? Falsehood and deception. So what does this say to you? It says Jesus is the light of the world. Did you hear that? So in fact, John chapter 8, verse 12 says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not what? Shall not walk in darkness. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my, and a light unto my. All right, now I have a church. I have a church now. So here, the fifth plague talks about the fact that people have followed error. They have followed superstition. They have followed human devisings, but yet there is truth out there. Now, the plagues are literally plagues, but they have spiritual lessons that are their foundation, okay? And I want you to know that in that first plague, right? First plague, all physical security is in who? Is in Christ. In the second, I'm repeating deliberate so you can get it. In the second plague, all economic security is in who? In Christ. In that third plague, our very life is in who? In Christ. Right? Then the fourth plague, where it talks about the sun scorching man, true worship is in who? Is in Christ. Now, in that fifth plague, all light is in who? In Christ. So he is the light of our lives. All right? So the next plague, it says here, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof dried up, that the way the kings of the east might be prepared. Okay? And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of false prophet. For they are the spirits working miracles that led the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walked naked and see his shame. Now let's pause right here. Jesus says after the six plagues, after when? After the sixth, you have the first plague, which is the noisome sore. The second plague, the sea and water turn to blood. The third plague, they have blood to drink. The fourth plague, the sun scorches men. The fifth plague, darkness on the seat of who? Of the beast. Then you have the sixth plague, and he says, behold, I'm coming as a thief. Watch, keep your garments. Now, what sense would it make for Jesus to say, I'm coming as a thief after the sixth plague, and the sixth plague being poured out, if he had already come as a thief before that? So you hear people talking about the rapture, right? And they go out there lying and just say there will be a private going to heaven. God will just come and just take you, and you disappear. And so your wife, like Mrs. Enoch, she'll go around town looking for you. And you're already gone. Is that true? No, not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. Now, let me tell you what the Bible teaches here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16, Paul writes, for the Lord himself shall descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Amen? Amen. Do you believe that? Yes. And the dead in Christ shall what? Oh, I have a church now. Amen. Then we who are alive and remain shall be? Where? Together with them in the clouds of glory to do what? To meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Is that your goal? Amen. Are you looking forward to meet the Lord? Amen. Because church can simply be a place where we come and say, oh, we need to learn to forgive each other. Oh, you're sick, oh, pray. Oh, you know, I have needs. Oh, go to the community service. They'll give you some food. And we miss the point. We are here to stay connected to Christ so we can go to heaven. Heaven is our goal, friends. Did you hear me? We won't be here longer. This message was preached when I was a young boy. And now I'm 51, it's getting close. I never thought I'd preach this message, but now I see things in a different way. Matthew 24:30 says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. He will come and wipe away tears. And these sermons, you hear them on funerals. This can be preached in church. Amen. So you can know. Acts 1:11 records, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing in the heaven? This same Jesus shall come in like manner as you have seen him go." You have seen him go physically, you have seen him go visibly, you have seen him go literally. Therefore, he's coming back literally, physically, and visibly. You shall see him. You are going to see him in the clouds of glory when he returns back to earth. You put all these Bible pictures together and you have the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Glory. Very soon, he is going to appear in the clouds of heaven, suddenly all of his glorious radiance. The Bible says, as lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In meteorological science, when lightning flashes from east to west, friends, it means the storm is over. When I assure you this, when Christ comes back to earth, this storm is going to be over. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Jesus is going to appear in the clouds. The trump of God shall sound. Why the trumpet? Because in the Bible, the trump is used to announce royalty. Royalty. And Jesus Christ is royalty. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. The voice of the archangel summons the righteous dead from their graves, and all of the earth graves will explode as the occupants begin to come out to meet the King of Kings in the clouds. Amen. Will you be there? Will you be there? You got to make the choice. You got to make the choice. If you go to Louisiana, I was there last month or two, and then you see those big what do you call those tombstones? What do you call them? Those marble Muslims, they are big, huge graves. You go there, those are still going to open up, okay? Because bodies of the resurrected saints of God begin to rise to meet the Lord of glory. All eyes shall see him, whether you're ready for him or not, or maybe you're waiting for him or not waiting. All eyes shall see him. Don't be confused from those who preaches on the rapture of the church that you alone will just disappear. It doesn't work like that. All eyes shall see him. Now, there's something that I prepared here. So you see what other people think about the rapture versus the second coming of Christ. I'm going to try to use this now. I just want you to see what people think. I put this together so it kind of helps us to know where we're going. Okay? This is what other people think. What does it say? Read it to me. If you read like that, you never pass an exam. Read like it means something to you. Okay, can you see, or you want them to kind of make it bigger? Okay, so it says here, headlines will be screaming. Millions are missing without what? A trace. You are going to read that newspaper story, some of you, in the near future. Will you be there? Do you think you'll be there? He is coming for those who are the righteous dead and the living dead. If you are not part of them, you are bound for destruction. You'll be no more. Okay? Let's move. False. Why there will be nobody to... Why? There will be nobody to print anything in its time of judgment. There won't be newspapers. Here we go. You will be here because Christ is not the Lord of your life No, when he comes, you won't be here. It's either you go with him or you'll be destroyed. Okay? Here we go. Our television cameras will go into the cemeteries around every city of the world and show empty graves, raptured Muslims, empty homes and empty cars. Oh, there's some part truth in there. There'll be empty cars and empty homes. We'll be gone because we shall meet him where? In the air. Do you know why we have to meet him in the air? Because there's deception. Anybody can come and say, I'm Jesus. Anybody can go and have surgically implanted scars on their hands and their feet and claim to be Jesus. But this Jesus, you have to meet him in the air. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. So you can't fake this one. Okay? So far in the world, there are 7 people who claim to be Jesus. Google, you find it. They claim to be Jesus. Anybody can go to a good seamster and create your wonderful white robe and look good like Jesus. They have pictures of Jesus everywhere. Okay? If you go to Brazil, there's that big statue. What do they call it? Some of you know it, where it's Cristo, something very high in the air. You see it. So people don't like fakes. There's deception everywhere. Did you hear me? But this Jesus I'm talking about, it, if you love him, you have to meet him in the air. You cannot fake. Anybody can go to the Mount of Olives and stand at the Mount of Olives and say, I'm now the new king of the Jews. Anybody can do it. But there's nothing you're going to do about this Jesus I'm talking about, because he will have to float in the air. And you have to be righteous to join him in the air. All right? So here's another one. False, no activity after. Okay, we passed the CNN. Will do their best to put up a comedy of speckled nitwits together to explain to the lesser light what happened on planet Earth. False. There will be no CNN. Be gone. They'll be gone. You will have CNN when there's a hurricane, when there's a storm over here, down Earth, right? There's CNN. On the second coming of Christ, there won't be CNN. Okay, here we go. New Ages will be jabbering about the invasion of spaceship. That's going to be their solution to why people are missing. And psychologists are going to call it mass hysteria. True or false? False. I'm sorry for the psychologist at this point. It's either he believes or doesn't believe. All right? And so that's false. Phone lines are going to be jammed. Look at that one. Phone lines are going to be jammed as some of you start looking for your family members. That happens after a storm or a hurricane, not on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? There won't be any phone lines. AT&T or T-Mobile or T whatever won't be able to reach wherever you are. Okay? You are going to try to reach out and touch someone. False. They will be crying, and yes. And so you need to make that decision. The greatest prayer meeting the world has ever known is going to happen the day after the church leaves the earth. Will there be a prayer meeting after Jesus comes? It will be over. If you want to join Sister Hilton for prayer, do it on Wednesday. It's available. When the Lord comes, it's over, friends. It's over. It's over. The church is going to be pegged from front to back with people weeping and saying, no, there won't be anybody at church. There won't be anybody here. Right? We are left behind to go through the hell of the tribulation. Now, I was talking to you, Revelation chapter 16, it is the chapter of the great tribulation. And so I introduced you to that, so that nobody can deceive you. You have the right to choose, my friend. Well, the Bible says, if you receive the mark of the beast, you're gone. But right now, you heard Brother Marlon praying for his sister. You heard it? You know, the devil is a liar. He always tells us we have so much time. in our hands. You always tell us we're going to make a choice at some point. Now imagine when your brain won't work, when you lose your brain, you're done. So the time you have to make that decision is when? It's now. Because nobody knows tomorrow, friends. You will not be always healthy. Did you hear me? You will not be always healthy. So you make your decision today. Here we go. Some of you looking at me right now. Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to be the first to welcome the Antichrist. God forbid. God forbid. Because you do not believe that Jesus is coming. Did you hear that? So what should you do? Believe that Jesus is coming. Believe that. You have to believe that. That Jesus is coming. And that's it. Now, the judgment has set. The books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day? When every thought and word and action, God the righteous judge shall weigh, and the song goes, how shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins, or washed away? The second coming of Christ, friends, is the blessed hope of the church. Did you hear me? It is the grand climax of the gospel. Did you hear me? The Savior's coming will be literal, personal, and worldwide. When he returns, the righteous dead will be resurrected. Together with the righteous living, will be glorified and taken to heaven. But the unrighteous, did you hear that? Will die. Go tell them, that's what I say. They'll die. You can reason out there with people who don't read, but I'm telling you, Jesus will be here. The almost complete fulfillment of most lines of prophets together with the present condition. Look at the present condition of the world. It indicates that Christ's coming is imminent. The time of that event has not been revealed. We don't know when, and we are therefore we should be ready. You got to be ready. Some of you here today are living godless lives. And Jesus Christ is the last person you want to see. I have good news for you. Too bad. He is coming, whether you're ready or not. He is not in heaven saying, let's make a deal. He is in heaven saying, this is the deal. I am the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I'm returning on schedule for those who has believed in me. Now, somebody lied to me and say, oh, you know, neighbors are going to be standing in the street and they'll be having conversation like this. Oh, I was standing here talking to Brother Stewart and suddenly he started rising into the air over the house past the treetops. Gone, gone, gone. Brother Stewart is gone. He's vanished into the clouds right before my eyes. True or false? False. All I shall see him. Now, what is this earth-shattering event in the second coming of Christ? It's going to happen in the twinkling of an what? Of an eye. I'm saying to you, pray up, pick up, and look up. We are going somewhere, friends. In a little while, we're going home. Just beyond the clouds, the saints of God will be gathering home. The Bible says they shall come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And their number shall be 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. That's the Bible's way of saying it's an innumerable host, right? The Bible says that God will wipe away every tear, and there shall be no what? Parting, and there shall be no suffering, and there'll be no what? No pain. Now, it moves on to say there'll be no death. Did you hear that? Yes. There shall be no death. Why? because there'll be no diseases. Okay? Brother Marlon, sister, won't have to worry. There'll be no chamber for those who are suffering with cancer or heart troubles, because Christ, the great physician, has come and taken the saints home to be with him in the clouds of glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You will instantly receive a robe of righteousness when he comes, which John the Revelator says in the right is the righteous works of the saints. When you do good, you are determining the quality of your robe when you get to heaven. You'll receive one of the five kinds of crowns. There's the crown of life. There's the crown of glory. There's the crown of righteousness. There's the soul winner's crown. Pastor Harris right there. And there's the mightiest crown. Okay? We are going to sit at the wedding feast prepared for the bride. It is the bride without a what? A spot, a stain, or wrinkle. I want you to hear that. The stains have been washed away by the cleansing blood of the Lamb of God. It is the bride that has been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is the bride who has been victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is the bride that has been the salt and light of the earth. It is the bride that has walked in holiness, for without holiness, no man shall see God. These are the thoughts of God concerning his precious bride. Do you hear what I hear? He's coming soon. Have you been to a wedding? They say, behold the bride at the wedding. And it's the music. I can hear the orchestra. Heaven playing, here he comes, the bride. The marriage supper is getting ready. If you listen closely, you can hear the footsteps of the Messiah shuffling through the clouds, getting ready to summon the bride of Christ home. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready? Or you are doubtful? Are you ready? You can tell me, yes, I'm ready. Are you ready? Okay, I understand. I don't want to force you. Think about it. He's about to come. The King in his glory is about to come. Now, let me ask you the question. If you don't believe in the second coming, as described in the Bible, where people rise to meet the Lord in the air, how are you going to know when the real Jesus gets here? Okay? So, I told you before, anyone can have made from himself a beautiful robe, and anyone can claim to be a descendant of King David. Anyone can have his followers crown him king. Anyone can have surgically implanted scars in their hands. And you and I, we know this is not the real Jesus. That's a fraud. That's an imposter. God knew in the beginning that imposters and frauds will come and claim to be Christ, deceiving many. And the Bible says even so, that the very elect will be deceived. So Jesus said, if any man shall say unto you, here is Christ, believe it not. That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. That's one thing Christ said, do not believe. Okay, now a lady told me just last week that she was driving a car, and suddenly Jesus appeared in her car. What do you think? What do you think? I told her, I don't believe it. Why? Because Jesus said, do not believe that. The next time we see Jesus is where? In the clouds, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. So how do you respond to these spiritual, I want to call them space cadets, who see Jesus in the air? Who see Jesus in their car, rather, who see him in the air? You tell them. If anybody tells you that, you know, Jesus visited, tell that person, that chapter is not in my Bible. It's not in my Bible. I don't believe you. Now, so God, because he knows they are fraud and imposters, so God scripturally, installed a fail-safe system that was so staggering with supernatural power. So, because Satan is always imitating God, right? Do we agree? So God had to make sure that when he comes, we meet him where? In the air. Because anybody can fake it, right? And so, Satan can imitate, let alone duplicate any plans. But this fail-safe method is called the second coming of Jesus. Satan always tried to imitate everything, whatever God has done. In the Old Testament, you know the story when Moses and Aaron walked in before Pharaoh, right? And Aaron threw his stick down. It became what? A serpent. And Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same thing by their secret arts. They threw down the sticks. Now they threw two. And it also became what? A serpent. Now, let me tell you something. That's some heavyweight supernatural power right there. Do you agree with me? If anybody who imitates you can do exactly what you do, then the word deceiving is real. You can be deceived. You know, I don't know if you are able to separate these things, but God says, watch and pray. Because if you don't really watch, you'll be deceived. Now, when you can turn a stick into a serpent, you lose me. I'm gone. You turn a stick into a snake, I'm going to be gone. And so, but here's the funny thing. And so the two sticks, Aaron his stick and the magician sticks, now we got one snake from Aaron and two snakes from the other side, from the magicians representing Pharaoh. And now God is going to show his supremacy. You know what happened? Aaron's snake devoured both snakes and killed them both. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Aaron's snake devoured the other two snakes, verifying the supremacy of the kingdom of God over the prince of darkness. Then in the New Testament, the Antichrist imitates Jesus. And so you see that in Revelation 6, there's a rider of a white horse. And then in Revelation 19, Christ returns to earth the second time, mounted on a white horse, followed by the armies which are in heaven. Now, he is constantly imitating Christ. Christ died and rose victoriously from the dead. Did you hear what I said? The Antichrist is going to be shot in the head. And the Bible says he will miraculously recover. He will emulate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Satan has always imitated what God has done. On the cross, Christ defeated death. On the cross, Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave. And the second coming, Christ, come on, rewind. At the second coming, Christ is coming. It's a total celebration over death, over hell, over the grave. So the second coming of Christ is the ultimate humiliation of Satan. And that's why Satan hates the teaching of the second coming of Jesus. Friends, I've been here a little bit longer. I want to tell you that I could go on and on and on, but the Lord is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? The question is, how will I know when the real Jesus gets here? You are not going to go on Google or read New York Times or watch these TV preachers or these charismatic personalities are standing on the Mount of Olives with a white robe, you're gonna know is the real Jesus when you meet him in the clouds of heaven. And that's when you know it is the real Jesus. I know it's the real Jesus for myself when my body sails into the air in the twinkling of an eye. I will rise. I don't know about you. I will rise. I pass the Milky Way, past Mars, past Satan, past North Star, straight into the pearly gates, into the arms of Jesus, because he died for me. I know that's the Son of God. When I stand before him with my brand new disease-proof body, my never-dying body, my fatigue-free body, my perfect body, I know that's the real Jesus. When I can take my glasses off and look at him with a clear vision, and I say, this is the one I've been waiting for. Amen. You think this body looks perfect? Do you think? No. They say, I'm not there yet, but they say after 60, it's a patch, patch, and patch. Your hair comes out, and your teeth comes out, and your back goes out more often than you do. And I'm looking forward to a time when I don't have to visit doctors at all. And I'm looking forward to a time I will attend death's funeral. I must attend death's funeral. Because right now, I simply get winded playing checkers. When we get, sometimes we get winded just playing Uno. You know better. You sit in a rocking chair, you can't get it going. Your knees buckle, your pants won't. And they say, welcome to the senior citizenship. Is there hope for this body? Is there hope for this body? The second coming of Jesus gives me hope, friends. When I think about that, I'm getting better. Hallelujah. In the twinkling of an eye, those attacking the second coming teaching, they'll deceive you. Because God will come and change everything. You will have a new body. You have a new body. And here's what he's going to do. He literally will heal you and give you a new body that will never die. Amen. Don't you want that, friends? Amen. Look at your bills going to hospital. Look at your emergencies. Don't you want him to come? Amen. That's exactly. And this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible is the absolute inerrant word of God. And it teaches that soon he will return. And I want to close with this. Jesus was literally born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger. He literally healed people. He literally had a miracle ministry. He literally died on the cross. He literally was buried in a borrowed tomb. He literally rose from the dead on the third day and sits at the right hand of God the Father, just like he said. He literally going to come back to earth in the clouds of heaven with power, with great glory. And the Bible says every knee literally is going to bow. The white knee, black knee, every knee, the wounded knee, every knee is going to bow and say, this is the one we've been waiting for. So I'm literally going to rise to meet him in the air. I am literally going to walk on the streets of gold. I am literally going to have an eternal robe of righteousness and wear the crown of life. I am literally am going to live forever. You are literally going to live forever. Glory to the Lamb of God. We are going home in a little while. Be blessed.
Amen, amen. Jesus is coming again, isn't he? Let us all stand for our closing song. If we're going to be ready for Jesus, we have to let him have our lives now. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Let's sing together. Take my life and
standing, Pastor Harris will dedicate you to the Lord. Some of you will say, maybe, Elder, if Christ is to come in the next 60 seconds, Elder, I won't be ready. I'm still dealing with myself. I've been up there for Christ at some point. I loved him. I worked for him. I gave it all. But now I'm kind of feeling, Elder, that I have backslidden. And I want you to know that God loves you. Amen. Pastor is here to dedicate you. And if you want to come and receive this Jesus that we're talking to, the one who's not a fraud, the one who's not an imposter, the real Jesus, Pastor will dedicate you. You can come up front, and Pastor will pray for you so you can have strength. Because, friends, alone you cannot do it. You need the help of Jesus. And, Pastor, this is your church.
Thank you, Elder Stewart. Is there anyone who wants to give their life to Jesus today? Anyone? Praise the Lord. Is there anyone who wants to say, Jesus, I'm making that decision for you right now to give you all of my life and to be blessed by your Spirit. Is there anyone who would like to raise their hand and say, Jesus, I'm receiving you today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm looking at those hands, and I'm telling you, I want to speak with you. I want to have a word with you right after this service. But also, if you're here today and you want to say, Lord, I want to be in that first resurrection, that translation whatever, just raise your hand. Lord, I want to join you in the clouds. Praise God. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word today. A powerful word. A word that reminds us all of why we're here at church. We're here because of you, Lord Jesus. We're here because, truth be told, this world is temporary. And we know at any time this life that you have blessed us with can end. And so, Father, you have provided every human being with this awesome gift. The gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of power from above, and the gift, Father, of being in a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. This is the only thing that can secure an eternal satisfaction. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you have seen the hands today. You've seen the hands of those who want to connect with you right now for the first time. And you have seen the hands of those today who want to say, Father, I need your help each and every day so that I can be in that translation or that resurrection and be caught up together, Father, to be with you in the clouds, be with Jesus, and to be taken to eternity. You've seen the hands, Father. Now we need your Holy Spirit in a special way. Each and every morning, each and every afternoon, each and every evening. Father, we need you to be ever present in our lives. Help us to make those decisions that will keep Jesus at the forefront of our lives. Father, help us all to remember to seek you first, knowing that all these other things that you would add on to us, but to put you first in our lives is our top priority. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hear this prayer and bless each and every person here today, those in the sanctuary and those watching online. For we ask it in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say, amen and amen.